Online Trading Academy is a leader in investing and stock trading education. Sign up for a class today to learn proven strategies on how to trade smarter. Text Cairo to 57682 and register for a free workshop in Bellevue and other surrounding areas. Text Cairo to 57682.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
It is The Dory Monson Show. But it's no Dory. It is Dave Wyman and Brock Huer trying to do the Dory Monson Show today.
Trying? What kind of a start is that? I wish you could see the big childish grin on Brock's.
I wish you're not
supposed to be here.
I wish you could have heard Dave say to me and whispered in my ear, remember way back when we heard a radio station was coming, it should have been Dory and Brock and Dave? It is. It's the Dory Monson Show with Brock and Dave and no Dory, and it is The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
And I do have a big smile on my face. And Dory, Dave, we're doing Dory's show, so yes. We can't just talk all half-cocked, okay? We're not
like we do over on the,
yes,
on the AM
side. We're no longer doing sports. Look at Ursula. She stayed in the room.
Oh, I'm staying right here.
Oh, I am Ursula. I'm sure this train stays on its tracks.
Ursula, by the way, greatest name in the radio business. Ursula Roitine.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. So I'm going to rely on you like I rely on Danny over the other side, because I do. I just throw stuff out there, and then Danny corrects it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they got this text toy thing, too, I believe. Yeah. So people are, I'm sure, going to text in. And I think to start, at least before it fully comes and unravels, I mean, for Nicole's sake, for crying out loud, and Ursula's sake, we better try to stick to something we may know a little bit about, and that is the Seattle Seahawks. And it was some of the news that did come down yesterday. Greg Bishop actually jumped on our morning show, and we were talking all about a totally different subject. We were talking about Jake Locker, Ferndale's own Jake Locker, and there's a wonderful piece in Sports Illustrated that Greg Bishop wrote about him. In fact, comes out digitally tomorrow, and it is a must-read if you're wondering, like, whatever happened to Jake? Whatever happened to that unbelievable kid that walked away from the NFL and all of its riches? So it's a great story that Greg did, but at the very end of the interview, I asked Greg, I said, Greg, what other stories, you know, are you working on? It's fascinating, you know, to always hear what he's doing. He's like, well, last year I was embedded with Michael Bennett. I spent a lot of time with him, and he dropped this nugget on us.
You know, I was with Michael Bennett all fall last year. Story never ran, unfortunately. But, like, he was telling me he read books during team meetings last year. Like, that was, like, he said it just kind of normally, because he'd heard Carol say the same thing over and over for 7 years.
You know, it's funny. I heard that from John Clayton. I got up and I did his show, and my first thing was, really? You got to be kidding me. And I hear you laughing in the background, but I know how you feel about this.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was so outrageous to me. And I had to kind of react on the fly because I just heard it from John Clayton. But you talk about openly subordinate. And that's, you know, and I know that we've talked about this already, and you have a little bit of a different twist on it later on, Brock. But, man, here's a guy, first of all. And the first thing I thought was, you sell out, unappreciative. I mean, ungrateful. You know, I mean, this guy signed you, Pete Carroll. He signed you. And he also drafted Richard Sherman, who had some things, and we have a clip from him as well. But on the way out, I can understand taking a few shots, you know, but this was just ridiculous. And this whole thing that was going on about Pete's message getting stale, my first thing was, you think I didn't hear Chuck Knox-isms? Yep. The same ones every single year? Your job as a veteran, especially when you get paid $7 to $10 million a year.
So you have a visceral reaction.
To sell that,
Dave,
to the younger guys.
Dave, Ursula, she's turned away from you now. Okay, she felt a linebacker presence right there. I'm looking at it. All right, I used to play, and I used to look in the eyes like yours, okay, right across the line of scrimmage like this.
By the way, I totally agree with Dave.
Yes.
Are you kidding
me? Sure.
Ursula's got linebacker eyes.
Yeah. Middle linebacker, no less.
Yeah, I mean, it's an emotional, visceral reaction because, I mean, Dave, you have been around Michael Bennett a bunch. We have been around him. We're the we're the flagship of that franchise, and we know the number of times that Pete has also covered for Michael, that he has had his back, that he has defended him in every single circle. And here you hear from the inside, like, man, I'm kind of going to do my own thing. And while I'm with you, there is a large part of me that, honestly, after I laugh there, like, are you, you did what? You did what? He's reading books while Coach is up there, and this is one of your leaders. There was a large part of me that turned right away to, well, what are you doing then, Pete?
Huh?
Like if he's reading books.
So you're blaming Pete more than you are Michael Bennett.
I immediately flipped to that team aspect of it. And I'm with you. I did. I instantly would have been like, Michael, what are you doing, man? Knock it off. Right? Like in class. Right? Come on, man. Let's go. Listen to Coach. We had players that would fall asleep. You had players that fell asleep in meetings.
Yeah, you throw an eraser at their heads.
Yes.
That's what the coaches used to do.
Yeah, so you'd have guys that would fall asleep in meetings or whatever, and you tap them on the leg like, dude, wake up. Yeah. You don't want Coach to look over at you. But that just kind of open disobedience, I do. I kind of turn it fairly quickly to Pete and wonder, Pete, how does that happen in your locker room? Why and what behavior has been enabled? And then I spin it this way, Ursula, and you tell me if this is way off. You're at the grocery store, okay? And Nicole, you can weigh in on this as well. And you're going down the aisle with the Oreos and the Chips Ahoy. Not the healthy stuff, okay? You're going down, and I believe the supermarkets always put those in the middle, mm-hmm. right? They want it centric and people to go down it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you see the little kid, just a little brat that's making a scene, that is out of the cart and is kicking and screaming and crying and yelling, and I want mine, and goes crazy. In that moment, your snap judgment is what? Is it on the parent or is it on the brat?
It's on the parent.
It's on the parent.
Okay.
Nicole?
It's on the parent.
It's on the parent. Dave?
No, I'm not answering your question. I'm sorry. You're comparing a parent to a head coach?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a grown man. He's a grown man. He makes $10 million a year.
Thank you.
You can't do your job. He's not a child.
But I got
Michael Bennett. It's 1,000% on him.
But I think that Brock, I think it's Michael Bennett absolutely needs to act like a grown up and someone who's paid $10 million. But Pete Carroll, you're right, Brock. I mean, if you allow that, you know what? You're going to have a lack of discipline.
Ursula, they don't have many rules. I just spent some time. It was really cool down south. Dabo Sweeney, the coach of Clemson, great guy. I had their spring game.
You like the
South. I love the South. There's a lot of grace. We're going to get to that a little bit later. There's some dignity. There's respect. There's a lot of things. But he said something. We sat down to do a podcast, and he said, you know what? Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. You have rules. You don't have relationship. Rebellion. Okay? And then I would flip it around in this case, and I would actually say if you have relationship, which Pete has, but you got no rules, you have rebellion. They have rule one in their building. Rule one. He doesn't have many, but rule one is protect the team.
Right.
It's protect the team. And I would look, and I think I can make a case over the years, and I've asked Pete a lot about this on Monday mornings, publicly and privately. Like, how is this protecting the team? Marshawn Lynch flipping off the sidelines. How is that protecting the team? Mm-hmm. Richard Sherman throwing the coordinator under the bus. How are we protecting the team? Richard Sherman throwing – here's Richard Sherman. Here's Richard Sherman, 2 years ago, you know, talking about these team meetings and everything else. You tell me if Richard Sherman's protecting the team in rule number one. I don't think he is. I don't think he cares too much about these meetings as well. Maybe he's not reading a book, but he's singing Kumbaya.
Is that player initiated or team?
It's always Pete. It's always Pete. So we always go into the Kumbaya meet room and sit there in Kumbaya.
Do they do much good?
They're effective, you know. I think just a different element for some guys, you know. Older guys, we kind of see it every year. So the younger guys give them something different.
Well, first of all, let's go back. The Michael Bennett thing, we don't know that he saw Michael Bennett doing that. Michael
True.
Bennett said that's something that he did. And, and to me, it was all just a big show because he's being openly rebellious and he wants to show everybody. When, again, your job as a paid professional is to not necessarily sell that message to the younger kids, but at least don't trash it.
Yep.
Okay. And that's what he was doing. With Richard Sherman, you know, this is one where he's just kind of, I'm with you on that. Maybe they should have taken some disciplinary action a little bit earlier because that led to the whole thing. And I don't know if you you weren't there, I don't think, for this, but when he was supposed to come and apologize for trying to call plays on the sidelines, he held a press conference.
Yes.
I sat down in the press conference, and I didn't make a huge show, but it was probably pretty obvious, because the next time I interviewed Richard Sherman on the air on TV, he just gave me some blow-off answer like, yeah, that's just you guys in the media, blah, 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 you know, and I was like, whatever, we'll cut that out anyway, okay, but he gets up there, and he says, well, you know, the way I understand it, you know, we all have a say in the play calling and the process. And I got up, I folded my stuff, I put it in my thing, and I left. And then that ended up leading to, because I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to apologize. So then that led to him threatening Jim Moore, who, you know, and both of these players, by the way, have had very close interpersonal actions with
your co-host
Jim Moore.
Yes.
Yeah,
and, who I love.
Yes,
yeah. He
because
brings...
Jim Moore's going to say, "Hey, rule one, Richard."
Right.
I mean, he would. Jim Moore would say to him, "Like, how are you protecting the team right now?"
Right. Well, the first thing he said was, "Do you think you have a better handle on play calling than the coaches?" And that made him mad.
That
and then he said
off.
He threatened he was going to take Jim's credential away, which he does not have power over that. So anyway, you know, that was something that, yeah, maybe they should have. He should have taken some action, maybe a little bit more harsh there. But they did cut him, and they did ship off Michael Bennett.
They did.
And so I'm wondering if now it's like, okay, maybe we're going to change a little bit here. And that was just took him a little bit longer than because here's what I think a lot of coaches, they get angry and they're like, I'm the boss and I'm going to handle things and I'm going to do things my way.
Yep.
You can't say that Pete Carroll didn't get the most out of these players. A lot of old school coaches would have told Richard Sherman to shut up.
Been done.
Yep. And they would have said, Michael Bennett, you jump off sides four times a game.
Yep.
By the way, we had a little bit of a quiz on our show. What book was he reading?
Yeah.
Somebody texted in, How to Not Jump Off Sides for Dummies.
Solid.
Yeah. So, I mean, he did eventually take action. He did cut one and trade one.
Yeah, but does Pete change his ways there, or does he keep repeating his same stories now with a new crew?
You know what he does? He starts over.
Yeah.
He has a whole new, younger crew, largely,
yes,
that I think he implements his culture.
But you know what? Your question is a good one, Ursula. Yes, he's going to repeat the same thing because that's what he knows. And guess what?
Does he just slightly change up the story a little bit?
Well, and everybody's saying it's stale and everything. He's the guy that brings in the head coach from the Warriors and has the videos and brings in all these motivational speakers. You can't tell me that's – you want to hear stale, and God bless him, Chuck Knox. I mean, I heard the same Knox every single year, but
you're respectful and you're going to realize that, hey, that message is going to be new for someone else.
I'll tell you what, I was afraid to pull out a book, that's for sure. I might have done a crossword
Do you guys believe this? Can I get a little deep here? I think we can do it. Can Dory's show get a little deep? Don't you guys get a little deep in personal every once in a while? Do you believe that sometimes you're, not sometimes, I've heard this said, and I believe this more and more as I turned 42 last weekend, that your greatest strengths,
I'd kill to be 42.
Your greatest strengths can also be your greatest weaknesses.
How so? Example.
And I would use this as an example, that the greatest strength Pete has is he cultivated relationship in a business that doesn't. You had it with Chuck Knox, but I had such very little. It's a brutal business. They're unilateral contracts. There's no trust. It is so hard to engender any loyalty and so much of this stuff. But he cultivated relationship, and they signed guys to deals, and not one deal, but two deals, and kept this crew around. Because he believes in it, and he believes in empowering those guys individually. He wants their expression, their individual expression, and full freedom to do all. He does all of that, and he gave that to them.
But
and that's one of his greatest gifts.
I mean, it sounds like it, but maybe there's a window of opportunity for when that will work, and at some point they're like, okay, I don't even need to deal
yet
with
at
this.
The end, at some point, as I look at Richard, and I do look at Michael, that at some point they took such advantage, and that's what drives you crazy, Dave. It drives you nuts.
Okay, well,
they extend an olive branch time and again. He covered for him time and again, and you know this, Dave, because you did it for a decade. This coach did everything for you guys, and yet in the end, what do you do?
Well, and here's the other thing, too. The message worked! It worked! My God, they went to the playoffs his first year here. They shouldn't have. They were 7-9, and they end up beating the Saints. But then the next year, they miss it. They go to the playoffs in 2012. They go win a Super Bowl in 2013. They go to the Super Bowl in 14. They go to the playoffs the next 2 years. They have 5 years in a row of double-digit wins. So you're sitting there going, the message is getting stale, and he's more of a college coach. No, he's not. He's going to be one of the greater NFL coaches of all time.
You know what you did to me earlier, Wyman? I've been thinking about this for like 15 minutes. You know what you did to me earlier?
Gotcha.
Because I get to do like this 12, no, what do we do, about 10 minutes for the Monday Monson quarterback? I get like a 10-minute. He keeps you around for like a whole hour. Number one, he likes
hour.
No, whatever. He likes you a lot more. That's obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever Dory, if he ever listens to this, that's obvious. That's number one. But number two, you know what you did? Maybe because you spend more time with him, you totally spun my thing. You went political. You didn't even answer. You were like, I am going to spit that out of my mouth. The whole parent-kid thing, you weren't even going to answer it. You didn't even, like, give it even 2 cents because it, you just, you, where,
it's
did
a
you
corrupt,
learn that here?
It's a corrupt comparison. The two, you can't
parenting and coaching?
No, yes.
Parenting,
grown men.
Parenting and coaching, I think, do have some similarity. That no matter how perfect you think you do it, and I'll end it with this.
Okay, Bill, but you were trying to blame Pete.
Yeah.
For a problem that, yes, no. Parents should be blamed for.
Blame game, it's still on the player. It's like 80% on Michael Bennett. But there's a part of it where, you know, that culture, you know, and what it created there. But I will say this. There also is no perfect way to do it. Because what are you seeing in New England right now? You're seeing rebellion in New England. You're seeing Brady and Gronk and these guys sick and tired of that tyrant on that end of the spectrum, too, who cultivated no relationship in Belichick with his players, didn't want any part of that. Pete on the other side of the spectrum, yeah, it doesn't always end pretty. Kind of like parenting. Good luck. Right? You think you got your perfect way figured out and your kid's never going to have a tantrum because you're going to do it this way all the time. I don't know. I don't know if you've learned that in parenting. I sure have. There's no perfect playbook to try to handle all of those moves.
You talk about me being political. You just spun that whole thing around so that it works. And you had like an imaginary argument with me.
And I'm sorry.
I didn't even participate.
And I'm sorry. We got to get to break too.
I opted out. All right.
Oh man, we got to go.
Hey, coming up next, Barbara Bush passes away. One of our favorites on this show, I know, Kashama Sawant. She chimed in. We'll talk about that next. It's the Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, you're listening to Dory. Did you know that your customers do too? Why don't you advertise here? Give me a call and I'll help you out. Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio, 206-726-6819.
Don't know this song. Usually Dory and I play Name That Tune. It's the Dory Monson Show on 97.3 FM. Got a few texts here, Brock. I like this one. Somebody, because of us, snorted coffee through their nose.
Oh.
Which is good. Yeah,
good.
That's always good. This one, 360. Wow, you guys argue worse than Tom and Curly.
No.
I like that.
We're on the same team, Dave.
Hey, I gotta get an email. It says, the only thing more enjoyable than listening to Brock and Dave on Dory's show right now would be watching Dory listen to Brock and Dave on Dory's show right now.
So true.
Which is true.
We should have set up some kind of a webcam or something. Get Dory down there. He's busy down there. He's got better things to do. Barbara Bush, great lady. First lady of the first Bush president and mother of George W. Bush. Died at 92 years old. Yesterday, and just a great lady, did a lot for literacy. That was sort of her quest as first lady, was to improve literacy, and passed away yesterday. And there was a tweet that was put out by the Women's March, and the Women's March is just it's an organization to harness the political power of diverse women and their communities, just to sum it up. And it says, rest in peace and power, Barbara Bush, and has a picture of her there. And Kashama Sawant comes out, and we all know she's a city council member and often a subject of this show, and Doris Iyer.
She comes on the show?
No, I don't think she comes on.
She has.
Has she come on the show?
And then she hung up and hasn't been back.
Oh.
Oh, is that right? He asked her a question she didn't want to answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, she follows that up with a tweet that says, this is terrible. At Women's March, organizers have helped lead historic protests since Trump's election, but this tweet shows how, without a political compass, even well-meaning progressives can end up giving cover to ruling class and ultimately undermining struggles against oppression. And she's gotten roundly panned for this on Twitter. I don't see many that are supporting her, but a lot of people really coming after her when really, isn't it just a time to... Gosh, I mean, let's just celebrate lady, whether you agree or disagree. She passed away, and she was a great lady. And I forgot to bring this up, Nicole, but she was somebody with a really good sense of humor, too, right to the very end.
Laura and I went over to see her a week ago Saturday, and we had a wonderful visit. She was strong, lucid.
Funny.
She and I were needling each other, and the doctor came in, and she turned to the doctor and said, "You want to know why George W. is the way he is?" And the doctor looked somewhat surprised. She said, "Because I drank and smoked when I was pregnant with him."
Hey, you know what that says to me? You talk about a tremendous family, and a sense of humor is really so important in relationships, but George W. Bush took a lot of heat for whether it was mispronouncing words or, you know, that he wasn't very smart. And there was all of this stuff. And for her to come out at the very end and be able to the security that they have as a family, I thought that was really heartwarming.
When you think of Barbara Bush, what do you think of? Like, do you have a term or two that just immediately strikes you when you think of her in her years, both with her husband in office and then her son? Right, I mean, to walk through that, when you think of her, do you have a term or two that comes to mind?
Yeah, I guess class, just because she always handled everything. I don't ever remember her striking back angrily, and there was probably going to be a lot of times. And you can imagine, you know this, Brock, you have the kind of relationship with your wife that I do. I'm like fiercely protective, and really of anybody in my family. And when you put yourself in that arena in politics, you're going to get slammed, and especially nowadays with social media and everything. And I just never saw her get riled up and kind of handled everything with class.
Yes, class is right there. And I think it's almost the white hair, too. It's just like this grit. Like, what are you going to throw at me? Right. My mom is a quarterback's mom. OK. And a coach's wife. And those are two from in the sporting world where Dave and I normally live and in our realm and what we do on the other side of the hallway. And we talk sports, like being a coach's wife is no joke, you know, and Suzanne, Dory's wife, would say that through all the years and supporting him and everything, all the sacrificial nature of that. And then when your son is a point guard or a quarterback or something like that and gets all this attention with the coach, right, to be the mom of that as well. And my mom, like Barbara, I think had some white hair because of it.
Yeah.
And I just thought she was such a tough, just a gritty lady. And my wife and I were talking about this last night, getting ready for the show. And Molly sent me, speaking of wives again, Molly sent me this little quote that Barbara had said late in her life. Never lose sight of the fact that the most important yardstick of your success will be how you treat other people, your family, your friends, and your coworkers. And here you go. And even strangers you meet along the way. Miss Savant ever met Barbara Bush? And I'll make I'll make a judgment there. I would doubt that ever did happen. So they were strangers along the way. And I think a Miss Barbara would have, you know, a level of class and dignity. I think she showed that through her years in the political realm. You didn't hear her take shots like that. And where, I guess just ultimately, where's the decency?
Yeah.
Where is the decency as she passes away at 92? The Women's March has the decency to pay her respects, don't agree with the politics, but the decency to do so. And Miss Savant decides to show very little.
Yeah, and there's a lot of response of people from the other side that say, wow, you know, this is not a time for that. It's a time to let that go. But the problem I have with Savant, it's always so basic, it's like, she's a socialist. Socialism is 0-275 in the history of the world.
Yes.
Come on, man. To keep it sports related, it's 0-275. I don't have that. That's not an exact number. But, I mean, it just that's.
Dave, I said it again. If we're on the news side, you got to be exact. Okay. They care about
these
numbers.
Let me ask you some
things.
Questions.
Okay.
Brock.
All right.
Have the great achievements of civilization, have they come from government bureaus or have they come from people who are unleashing their productive activity in the free market system?
Mm. Probably the latter, I'm gonna guess.
The world runs on individuals pursuing their own separate interests, and socialism just has not worked.
Yet, Dave,
capitalism is not perfect. It's not perfect.
No, it's not.
It's going to leave people behind.
You know what, though? You loved a locker room, and you loved a locker room because it was full of a cast of characters totally different than you. And I think that you and I both like this job that we're in because this building has a lot of folks that are pretty different than you and I.
Yeah.
Yet, you know what you do in a locker room? You show a level of decency. You know what you do in this building? You show a level of decency, just a human respect and decency. I would contend that Ms. Savant here, by taking a shot at Women's March, who is showing a level of decency, is doing just the opposite of that. And I don't, you tell me, what possible upside and gain is there? Is there ever to just take that kind of liberty and that kind of shot? I don't understand. It's why we often stick to sports and we stick to those topics because I just, for the life of me, can't understand.
It's a good point you make, though, because I would not want to live in a world where everybody had the same opinion as me. I think that would be dangerous.
Yes.
I think it would be a bad thing. And you have to respect other people's opinions. We get along with everybody over on the sports side. And there's a huge, wide array of different ways of looking at things. And so, yeah, you're right, Brock. The decency, that's probably the best way to put that. It's the best word.
And it's really all I'm looking for, Dave. You know, when we communicate and the three of us, Nicole is just a producer extraordinaire, bringing this group together, sending emails, sending texts. And that's all I want is a level of decency. If I send you something and maybe it has an emoji on it, I'm just looking for a little level of decency. Dave gave me none. And I'll tell you what I mean next. It's the Dory Monson Show with Dave Wyman, Brock Huard here on 97.3 FM. Monson Show, Dave Wyman, Brock Huard sitting in. You may have hear our voices. Dave joins Dory for an entire hour, sometimes two. Maybe he keeps him the whole show every once in a while. I get 10 minutes on Mondays just to talk a little football. Dave talks politics. And that's, I said to Nicole, why don't you use the both of us when Dory's out? I think I love the opportunity. Wyman, I don't know if we'll ever be invited back. You kind of look at this as our little workout, our little
I don't know if we're going to be invited back.
You had a tryout at the end of your NFL career, right?
Yeah, but you know what? Here's one thing from the NFL, if you want to keep it NFL here, since we're sports jocks.
Yeah.
There's also something called playing your way out of a job.
Yes.
I hated kickoff return because you basically retreat 20 yards and then have some guy just mow you over.
Yes.
And so I would do it just kind of okay, and so I'd get fired. Kind of like laundry at the house.
Yes.
All you got to do is put one red shirt in with whites and your wife's
stuff,
you don't have that job anymore.
Do you know what I had? I never hit anybody as a quarterback. I get to wear red jerseys. But I had this nervous tic I developed, and it wasn't even on purpose. Like, if you think holding for field goals is not that big a deal, anybody can do it, try to hold for an NFL kicker that wants that ball on a particular spot. I did in high school, no problem. Dane Looker, just put it down. Did in college, no problem, just put the ball down. NFL kicker, the first time I did, I'm like, oh, this is no problem. I'll just catch it, put it down. He's like, yeah, you missed a spot. I was like, what do you mean I missed a spot? Yeah, you were an inch and a half inside. What? There's a spot? I just put my finger. I thought I put it on. No, you need to put it. And I missed the next spot. And then I started to develop this tick. And this tick was to blink. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to keep my eyes wide open. If I blink, the ball gets snapped. It's going to hit me right in the face. So then I started like blink and this tick. And it was the most crazy, awkward thing. And they're like, you're out. You're out.
And you couldn't do it anymore.
Nope. That was it. Oh, I developed that little nervous tick and I was totally out. And I don't know, Dave, I will be the king of some awkward segues. I don't know if there's an emoji out there for an awkward tick or blink, but if there was, I think I would fit it and use it well. You are the most anti-emoji human being I've ever come across in my life. What is the disdain and the hatred and the vitriol you have for another person using emojis?
There's no hatred.
Yeah, there is. You judge me every time I do it, and now I do it on purpose. Every time I do it and I send an emoji, I know what's coming. What happened in your childhood that you hate emojis?
I don't know. They're just silly.
And to be clear, this wasn't even a smiley face or a weird dancing or anything. It was just a thumbs up.
It's a thumbs
up. Dave absolutely shamed you with a, I can't believe a grown man is using an emoji.
Right.
It's so hokey. Really?
But they're
You're
so
a grown
useful.
Man. One of the first ones I got was from G. Scott, and I gave him a hard time. He goes, what, you've never seen a black man send an emoji before? I said, no, G, I've never seen a man, a grown man send one before. Because he sends them too, because
yes.
him and I text a right. lot, and same thing with you.
Yeah. I send them to Dory, and he's actually been trying to send me more emojis back, because I like to use the emojis, so now he's making an effort to speak the way I do.
Is Dory sending emojis?
He does now.
Oh,
it's
God.
New, but
right,
he does
well,
now.
Only to you, though, but don't you think, Brock, you have enough respect for me to not send me an emoji?
Yeah, but now I don't, because now I know it irritates you. It's like the parenting thing, like, you know, it just rubs someone a little wrong way. And now I try to find kind of real funky ones, and I send you a pig, or I send you an animal, or I send you, a remote control.
The
now,
monkey covering his eyes.
Yeah, now whatever it is, you better get ready, Wyman.
So
I'm going to throw everything
silly.
At you.
I don't mind you sending them to your kids. I mean, the kids, it's very cute, and of course you would do that, but, don't send one to me. Why? I'm not going to respond to that. I don't even know what it means.
Do you know how much easier it is when you actually do? Do you know how to do it on your phone? Do you want me to show you how to do it on your phone?
No.
No? Now, and I'm going to guess you don't have a Bitmoji made of yourself either? You know what a Bitmoji is?
I've seen that.
You do?
Yeah. My brother sent me one where he had his own. It's supposed to be somebody that looks like you.
Yes.
And so I sent him, and he was sitting like three rows back from me on a plane, and we were all traveling together, my family, and I sent him something, like, gosh, I would have expected more from you. You're a grown man. And then he sent the Bitmoji guy back with two middle fingers up. Like, you can do that, too.
Well, you would like that.
That one, actually, I might make an exception just to send that. Anytime you send me an emoji, that's what you'll get back.
To be fair, Dave, honestly, and don't take this the wrong way, and Nicole, I think you would agree, you've got a Bitmoji kind of look to you. Like, you have kind of got the look, like the goatee, the hairs, nice hair, great eye. Like, you actually
Wait,
fit.
Whoa.
Yeah,
did you
just
say great eyes?
Yeah, great eyes.
What's wrong with you?
You fit the Bitmoji.
What's the matter with you?
Like, my Bitmoji, I look like Eminem. Like, that's not me. Like, my little hair with my calyx and my big lips, and my thing just doesn't work. Like, that doesn't look like you. That Bitmoji doesn't look like you.
I couldn't have told you had big lips.
I'm
not looking at that.
You have a Bitmoji, it would actually look like you. And I think you would get a little bit more into it. One last thing is, it saves time. That's why you do it and I do it.
Absolutely.
A thumbs up, I don't have to type THUMBS space UP or even OKAY.
How about just don't text?
I got an okay. I got a thumbs up. I got a fist pound.
And sometimes it gives emotion to the sentence, because you don't see people's emotions within these like text, and that's one of the problems with texting. And so you add the emotion.
Is this a slippery slope thing? Like, you're a little afraid? Like, you just don't want to do it because you've really enjoyed the sacred ground that you live on as an old angry man, and I'm not going to give an inch? Like, is part of it just some of that demeanor, too?
No, it just doesn't occur to me to do it. And so, therefore, I will continue on this path, Brock, until the day I die.
Okay.
And also, there are certain people that you can imagine whether somebody is an emoji guy or right. not, okay?
Yes.
Dave Pearson, vice president for the Seattle Seahawks.
Not an
emoji guy.
By no means.
Okay? John Schneider.
Yes.
GM. Yes. He texts me all the time, this fist. And I'm like, what does that mean? Are you, like, are you punching me?
Fist bump.
It's a fist bump. Okay. Yeah, I don't. There are just certain people. My dad would never text an emoji. What about Coach Heward, your
yes.
father?
Yes, he does.
He does?
And you wouldn't think he does.
How about your brothers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course,
Dave.
My
brother
does. Friendly.
My brother
does
it.
Let's do okay, let's do this real quick.
Not everybody.
I'm very curious with the audience here. We got like a fastest 15 in a few minutes, but I'm very curious with Dory's audience. Do you guys activate the text toy a lot on your show?
Activate it? You mean look at it?
Yes.
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 I look at it.
You guys use it a lot. Okay.
What's this activated?
It's a radio term. You'll get it, Dave. Text in to 99973 if you're listening. You already know the text number, but I'll remind you, 99973. I would like a little just straw poll here. Yes or no? Emojis, just yes or no. You don't have to do one. All I want is a yes or a no. And I would like to see how many people listening right now are emoji people. Just say yes. And if you're Dave and you're just like not into it, you're just not going to go down, you're not going to roll that way no matter what, you go ahead and text no. And I'd be very curious here what Dory's audience from noon to 3 is on a daily basis on 97.3 FM. What do we got?
I'll tell you what.
What do we got? Survey says what?
509. He's with Dave. Of course, the 509. East of the mountain.
That's my guy in Cleo. Yes. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. No. What are we seeing? Nicole, you'll be honest. The arbiter. Yes.
Yes. There's a couple. Okay, here they come. So now people are just getting to their phones.
There's a no. Sure. I don't expect to be in the majority.
No, yes. Huh?
I don't expect to be in the majority.
Maybe split.
Pretty split?
So? I think it's pretty split so far.
Well,
here's
it's not
all the yeses.
Anything I'm ever going to do.
Yes. Now there's the yeses.
Oh, and then there's a heck yeah.
I bet the Dave.
Oh, this guy has an old school one, which is parentheses marks with the.
Don't. Yeah, we don't.
All right.
Dirty emojis don't count.
Yeah, okay. I could get into that. Those would be funny. Yeah. All right, coming up next, it's the fastest 15, including a story about Brock Heward's grandma and chewing tobacco. That's next on the Dory Monson Show.